clock says 7 o'clock. We want to go ahead and get started. We welcome our visitors tonight. Pray that everything that's done and said here tonight is in accordance with God's will. So this is our final night of the sessions that we had planned. Tonight we'll be talking about preaching and teaching. Brother Cookie Pugh will be leading that discussion. So, as we said earlier in the week and tonight, that there was a plan for this built around what does the Bible say? And we talked about praying on Monday night, praising God in song on Tuesday night, giving on Wednesday, the Lord's Supper last night, and tonight preaching and teaching. So a lot of people are confused a lot of times about what does the Bible really say? So we're going to talk about that tonight on that one topic. Because there are three things that we want to take away from here is that God has spoken to us through His Word, the Bible, and that's the sole source for us, for all things spiritual, what He wants, so we can understand our mission here in the way that God wants us to understand it. The second thing is that we can know what God wants, and what He directs for us, what He prefers for us, and what He expects of us. The third thing is that the Bible is understandable. We'll see that, and Cookie will demonstrate that. Visiting with us tonight, Cookie has amassed a great ability to teach, and you'll see that, even though he doesn't have a doctorate of divinity. And so that will underscore the idea that we're trying to convey is that we all can understand what God wants. So what does the Bible say? So we're glad you're here. Does anyone need a Bible? Okay. So the process we'll go through tonight, Cookie's going to talk to us about 30 minutes. And what we'll do is, if you have questions, we want you to write those down as you have those thoughts. Right? We have a couple of young men in the back who have some pieces of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper to start with, just raise your hand, we'll get you one. But write the question down, and then after the 30 minutes, we'll collect all those questions, and we'll go through those one by one. Okay? So at this point, if you have a cell phone, please put that on silent. That'll help us out, keep us focused. If you would, bow with me and we'll have a word of prayer before we begin. Holy Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day and the many blessings you've given to us. Thankful for your word that we might know how to live and be pleasing in your sight. We are thankful, Father, for our Savior Jesus Christ who died for us that we might have a hope of eternal life. We are thankful for our health, Father, and the ability to be here to study. Pray that you'll be with Cookie tonight. Help him in his recollection of the things he's prepared. And help us as listeners, Father, to understand the true intent of the inspired writers that have penned these words for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Before we start off, I want to read something from John 21. In verse 25, and there are many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Now, with that, the Bible has a lot of information in it. And for me to try to tell you everything that it has to say, we will be here for a very long time. But what I've done was taken a few things from the Bible, which is an introduction of what God wants us to know about Him. And of course, the subject is preaching and teaching, and I looked up those two words, and they're so very close that it really is not going to make that much of a difference which one you use. Because if you have a computer or a concordance and look up those words, there are many words, and it says preach, 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 but what are you going to preach? It says teach, 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 what are you going to teach? So you have to get into the Bible and look at what God is trying to tell us about what we ought to preach and what we ought to teach. So, with that, I want to give a couple of definitions of teaching, because that's what we do the majority of time that we run across people, is to try to show them exactly what the Bible has to say. So we are teaching them. Now, the definition of teach is to guide the study of, to impart the knowledge of, to instruct by precepts, example, or experience, to conduct instructions regularly in. And so, that's just a brief of what teaching is all about. Is you want to impart something to somebody so they will understand something. Now, I believe the majority of us in here have been in a position of teaching someone something. Now, that's a difficult task sometimes. How do I go about teaching somebody something? Well, the first time you start off, you will probably mess up, but as you keep doing it, you will find different ways in which you can teach people something that they should understand. So, to start off, I have a lot of time to think at my job. And with this lesson, I had a lot of time to think, what is it should I do? How should I start off? And something came to me. God is giving us a test. He's testing us. Now, the thing is about a test, and I don't believe there's anybody in here that likes to take a test. I know I don't. But this test that God has given us is an open book test. It's open. All we got to do is get in it and find out what He wants us to do. So now, if with this open book test you fail, whose fault is it? It's not God's. It's yours. Because you did not want to do what He told you to do. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. The things that He's trying to tell us, and it's just a few, but there's a scripture, and I would suggest you write them down, because I got a lot of scriptures I want to go through. I will let you know where it came from so you can examine them later. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Now, my task, we've all went through this the night before, and I listened to all the other ones, and what those individuals did made my task a lot easier. To just go through the Bible and say what the Bible said. And if there's any, excuse me, if there's any argument, you got to argue with God. Because these are His words, and all I am doing is pointing them out to you. And so if you have any difficult, go to God. Don't tell me I disagree. That's between you and God. Because He's saying what He requires, it's up to you to do it. Now, most of us have seen some movies. And there's this one particular movie that I thought was pretty interesting. And there was a line in it. And the question was asked to this individual, what is the truth? And his comeback was, you can't handle the truth. And most people cannot handle the truth because the truth tells them things they do not want to hear. Whose fault is this? It's not God. God's telling them what to do so they can be pleasing to Him. Now, I got two questions to ask you. Because based on the answer you give in your mind is what this lesson is all about. Do you believe in God? That's the first question. Do you believe in God of the Bible? Now, if you say yes, we can proceed on. But if you say no, I hope as we go through this study, you will see what God says and you will have a change of heart. And you will do what He says. The next question is, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Again, if you say no, what we're going to be showing here is what the Word says, what you need to do. But now, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then you need to do exactly what it says without any questions. Because you realize it's true. God has a purpose for everything He did. He just didn't think about it and say, oh, you know, one day I'm going to go ahead and make this world and I'm going to do this. Everything He did has a purpose, and He did it not just for the sake of doing it. So He made this world. But you know, in our time period, He gave us a book. And the book is called the Bible. And in that Bible, we find out about things of God, what He wants us to know. Because without the Bible, we have no inkling of what God is all about. So, why did He give us the Bible? Well, without the Bible, we would not know anything about heaven. We would not know anything about hell. We would not know we are sinners. And as a sinner, you are lost without the aid of God. He also, in His Bible, lets us know that we need a Savior. And we're going to talk about Him in a little bit. Now, I got some scriptures. I want you to think about them. I want you to think about them and think about them and think about them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. John 17:17. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things which I sent it. Isaiah 55:8-11. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29:29. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandments is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. John 12:48-50. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. It is him you shall listen. Deuteronomy 18:15. Another one, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Deuteronomy 18:18-19. Now, I want you to think about those scriptures that I just gave, because they are the basis for everything else we're going to be looking at tonight. But here is something that I thought of, and not that I'm a genius or anything, but I thought it was pretty good. And I want to share it with you. I want you to remember this and ask yourself this question every time you read God's Word. And that question is, what is this scripture telling me? Nobody else. What is it telling me? Because you will be judged based upon what the scripture is saying to you. So, when you look at those scriptures, it is going to tell you exactly what it's all about. Now, there are some that will be a little bit difficult, but if you realize what they are, it has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is perfectly clear. But these other things that we make a big issue over, all that does is cause our faith to dwindle. Concentrate on those things that you can understand. Now, like anything else, it should start off with God and what he says about him. Because if you ask people a question today, who is God? What is he all about? They're going to tell you something. And you could ask the question, where did you get it from? And most of them will say, well, you know, I heard it when I was a child from the Bible, a Bible story. But it starts off with the Word of God. There's a problem, though. People should start listening to God. The problem is they listen to man and everything man has to say instead of what God has revealed in his book. Now, the bottom line is, when it comes time for this test, will you pass it or will you fail? Because if you listen to men and their views on what the Bible is all about, you're going to fail. But if you get into these pages and see what he said and do them, you will have eternal life. There's something else I thought about as I was studying it. We all believe in authority. We understand what authority means. A passage which came to mind, of course, is in Matthew 28, when Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. But here is a part of authority that we just probably didn't notice before. But it was there. And if you look at the definition of authority, it says legal or rightful power, a right to command or to act, power exerted by a person in virtue of his office or trust, dominion, or jurisdiction. So, we are going to see this power and this authority. In Genesis 1, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Look at that authority. He has the power to command. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach us out of this simple scripture? And I think we all can come up with the same thing. He created the heavens and the earth, and it was from Him that everything came from. He is the sovereign one. He is the powerful one. So when He tells us something, we should do it. But here's another point to look at. When He told everything to come into existence, to go where He said, everything obeyed Him. The earth, the sun, the moon, the water, the grass, everything came, the animals, everything came forth, and they obeyed God. And they still obey God. But, there's that but, the most prized possession didn't listen. And that's why God reveals to us why He sent His Son. So, we know one of the things that we need to look at, and we need to pay attention to this scripture as we're looking at the other scriptures. Every word that comes from the mouth of God is true, because He said, we also learn, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4. And we know where that came from. Every word that God gives is true and is righteous. And we need to pay attention to that. So, one of the things we're going to look at, the first thing we're going to look at is the will of God. We constantly hear this, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. What is the will of God? All right? Here's some scriptures. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So now we know we have to abide, but we got to know what it is. We got to know what the will of God is. And that was 1 John 2:17. For this is the will of God. Now here is something that we can understand what God is trying to tell us here. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So we got to do good. We just found that out. We got to do good. And we got to do good in such a way is that we're going to silence those people who have no idea what the Bible is all about. With book, chapter, and verse. So that's the first thing He wants us to do. And that was 1 Peter 2:15. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hebrews 10:36. Who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father. Galatians 1:4. Here's a scripture that we are familiar with. And we're going to get an insight again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Which is sin. And that, of course, is Matthew 7:21-23. Now, God has given to people the law. That law is to regulate our conduct. And whatever departs from the law that God gave is a sin. So, when He says, thou shalt not steal, and you steal, what have you done? You sin. When we have the other scriptures that tells about who should not inherit the kingdom of God, fornicators, adulterers, liars, you name it. What have they done? They went against God's word. And so when you go against God's word, you have sin. And if you ever want to know what sin is, look at all the places in the Bible which God tells you what to do. And when you go against what he says, guess what? It's sin. That's real simple. What he tells you to do and you don't do it, it's sin. The law measures our duty to God. Whatever that law is that God gives, it measures our duty. It tells us the degree of sin. That's the purpose of God telling us what to do. Because if we violate it, we're wrong. The law determines what is right in all cases. If you want to know about anything, go to the Bible. Now, if it's not in there, God didn't say nothing about it. But if it's in there and he says what to do or what not to do, you better take heed. The law is the expression of what is the will of God as to what we shall do and when, and if it's not, if it is not done, it's a sin. The law determines what we shall love and not love. We're studying the Old Testament, and we're seeing what God is requiring of his people. And I like this part of the Bible. Everybody may say I'm kind of gross and crude. I am. But I like the part when God says, if you don't do this, you will die. Now how clear can he get? If you don't do this, you will die. That should mean to any of those people at that time to make sure they're doing exactly what God says. But we know the outcome of the people in the Old Testament, they did not listen. And they died. So whose fault is that? It's not God's. It's theirs. He gave an order, they didn't do it. Now, that word lawlessness, we will find it in the Bible in different places, such as wickedness, iniquity, transgression, unrighteousness. When we see those things, that is sin. And all you got to do is take your concordance or whatever it is you have and look them up, and you will understand what sin is and what God is trying to say. The next subject we're going to look at is Jesus Christ. Now, I mean, we could be here forever talking about Jesus. But these are a few points that I believe that we can start off with, knowing who this person Jesus is. And we find, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God, that he will take away the sins of the world. And that is John 1:29. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Our grace and our truth came through Jesus Christ. So says John 1:17. Knowing that you were ransomed for the future ways inherited from your forefathers, not with the perishable thing, which as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, or the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture, He told him the good news of Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, you can go in any direction you want. The Bible is full of information, and none of it is nothing. It's important to know who Jesus is. Philip opened his mouth, and Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8:37. So if you were to tell people who Jesus is, his life was ransomed for all of us. And he is the Son of God. We want to tell people about the gospel. And here we can go to Corinthians. "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the words I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I declare to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and he was buried, that he was risen on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And we know how sin entered into the world. God told them not to eat of this certain tree. But Satan came along and he convinced Eve. Think about it. And so needless to say, she did. She gave it to her husband, and their eyes was open, and they knew that they had sinned. What did they do? They disobeyed God. What was that sin? Do not eat of that fruit. It doesn't seem like it's a whole big thing, but it's big enough. They went against God. And so sin entered into the world, and we know that through one, sin entered into the world, and through another one, there is redemption from sin. And that one, of course, is Jesus the Christ. And so God gives the information for you or anyone else to get into the Bible and find out exactly what he's required. There's one other point that I want to cover real quick, and that is there's going to be death and judgment to all of us. Because we're told in Hebrews 9:27, a judgment is going to come. Now, when that judgment comes, you better not be found to be guilty. Because if you do, you're lost. And so right now, while we have breath, while we have life, we are to practice and do what God tells us to the best of our ability so we will not be found guilty. A story that Jesus tells us, and we know this very well, is the rich man and Lazarus. When he dies, they both go to Hades. One goes to Abraham's bosom, the other goes to the place of torment. This person in torment did not like being there. Who would? But the thing is, he tried to persuade Abraham to send him back. He go back, send Lazarus go back. And Abraham told him, they have the law and the prophets, because he had five brothers that was coming. And Abraham said, if they don't listen to them, somebody going back from the dead ain't going to make a difference. And so, that is what's going to happen if you do not know what the Bible teaches concerning sin, concerning eternal life. It is all there. And like I said, you will be there for a very long time trying to find what it is you can teach people to get them motivated, to get them scared enough to do what is right. And one of the things I found out is that what you don't like, you're not going to do. What you do like, you will do it with everything you got. As I was studying, there's a quote that I thought was very good. It was from Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said basically this, is that he was not so much concerned about what the Bible did not say. He had problems with the things that he could understand from the Bible. And it's the same with the rest of the world. Because if you are an adulterer, if you are a fornicator, you are any of those things within the list that God gives us, and you don't want to change, you've got to try to find fault. But I got good news for you. If you don't change, you're lost. One last scripture. And this is, to me, very to the point. The Bible tells us about the book of life. Revelations 20 and 15 says this, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them by thy word, because thy word is truth. Everything we have comes from God, and it's true. You deny it, you're dead. It's as simple as that. Now, coming to a part that I've been thinking about, and I got a good answer for everything y'all want to say. I got the answer. You have to find it. I got the answer for it.
Ask Blake the questions from the audience.
We're under the New Testament, because there was a scripture that I was thinking about getting and I didn't get it, but the New Testament teaches us that the old law was nailed to the cross, and when Jesus died on that cross, he did away with the old covenant. Also, in Hebrews 8 and 9 is a scripture that everybody should read and get familiar with. It tells us if there wasn't a need, if the old law was so important, there wouldn't have been a need for the new one. And so it's done away with. And so today we are under the New Testament.
Next question. Can anyone preach or teach the Word of God, i.e., what training is required?
Since we don't have visitors, and he knows I talk to him hard, and if you got a brain, you have understanding, and you obey it. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, give the word to faithful people. That faithful person is the individual that wants to live the Word of God. And so all he is doing is repeating what God says. And like I said earlier, this test is right here in front of us. There is no, well, what did he say about this? We just go to the Bible and read what it says, and pass it on to somebody else. And you know, like, and I'm sure the majority of the new parents in here, they are teaching their children the Word of God now. And those children, they understand what is being said to them, but there will be a time in their life that they're going to obey it, and keep growing and keep teaching people. And that's why I have always said that whenever somebody is in front of us giving the Word of God, take the notes. Write them down so you can then take that same stuff and give it to somebody else. And Rufus will tell you, from you guys preaching, I go back when we was having studies and hitting with all of that stuff. It's not difficult. But you've got to have a desire to do it. And God expects you. And that's the key. He expects all of us to know so we can teach. It's not the preacher. It's not the elder. It's everybody. Now, if you want to do those things, be a preacher, be an elder, you better know what the Bible says. But everybody can know. Because what happens if the preacher and the elder start talking garbage? Start talking things that's not right. And you sit down there and soak it up like a wet cloth. You got to know so you can say, excuse me, the Bible says, because that was thrown at to me one time, and my answer was, yeah, you may know the Bible, but the interesting thing, I can learn the Bible. See? I can learn what it says. But again, you got to have the desire. And if you don't have the desire, you're not going to prevail. And I'm afraid you will have to answer to God because of the opportunities you let go by that only comes your way. Nobody else's way. Only your way. And you get one shot at it. So when you get this one shot, make it work. I'll give one example, and I don't think there's any more. I was in Great Falls, Montana, and they put this roommate with me. It was late at night, and he started asking some questions about the Bible. And I basically looked at my watch. Man, I gotta go. What? And I said, And we talked. Now, whatever happened to that guy, I have no idea. But that was an opportunity God gave me. And I used it. And I went to work like I always go to work, same way, tired. But it was an opportunity. And we pray. I hope you pay attention to the prayers. We pray for opportunities. But are we looking for them? Do we expect that opportunity to wrap the arms around us and say, I'm an opportunity? When you pray, be looking for an opportunity. And when it comes, take advantage. That's my assessment.
Are there any other questions? Well, we're glad everyone came out tonight. There would have been here every night, and we're thankful for that, for the opportunity to be here. That is it. Thank you.